This is Shimon Newbort with Hilchos Shabbos, Chapter 12. This chapter contains 19 halachas. In this chapter, the Rambam continues a discussion of the individual principal categories of melacha, the av melachas. We've learned already 36, and here the Rambam discusses the last three. Halacha aleph hamavir, the melacha of setting a fire, kol shehu. Hamavir kol shehu, if one sets a fire, even in the smallest amount of fire, there is no minimum quantity required, chayav, he is punished. V'hu sheyehei tzarech lo'efer, but it's only if he has some constructive purpose in lighting this fire. For example, he needs to make ashes. Aval im hivya derech hashchosa, however, if he sets fire with a destructive intent and in a destructive manner, potter, he is not punished. V'pnei shehu mekalkel, because he is destroying. And someone who does it in a destructive fashion, any malacha, as we learned in chapter 1, he is not punished. V'hamavir gadishi shal chaveri oy haseiriv diro seichayiv. However, if one sets fire to someone else's standing crops, or he sets fire to someone else's house, chayiv, he is punished for that. Afal pishahu mashchas, even though he is destroying. Mipnesha kavanosei lehinoki misoinei, because his intention here is not that he wants the property destroyed. His intention is lehinoki misoinei, to get even with someone who is his enemy. Vahare niskarada daitoi, and since he's done this, he has accomplished something constructive in that he's calmed himself down, v'shochecho chamosai, and he's forgotten his anger, v'naseke kerei almeisai, and therefore this is similar to one who tears his garments in memory of someone who died, oy b'chamosai, or someone who tears something because of his anger, shehu chayiv, and he is guilty, he is punished, as we've already learned previously, uchachoyvel b'chaveri b'shas meriva, or like someone who injures his fellow man during a fight while they're having an argument. And therefore, even though the wound, the injury that he caused is destructive, nevertheless, shekol elu misaknim heim, all of these people are doing something constructive, eichel yitzram hara, for their yitzer hara, for their evil inclination, in that they have eased their evil inclination from themselves. V'chein hamadlik es haner o yeso eitzim. Similarly, one who kindles a candle or he lights some wood, bein lehischamim, bein lehoyer, either to make a fire for warmth or for light, harei zechayiv, he is punished because this is constructive. Hamechamim es habarzel kedei letzarfei, one who heats up a piece of metal in order to harden it and strengthen it, b'mayim, by extinguishing it afterwards. He heats the metal until it glows, and then he plunges it, b'mayim, into cold water. Hareza teildes mavir, this kind of a smelting process, a steel-making process, which hardens the metal, zateildes mavir, this is a derivative of setting fire, v'chayev, and he's punished. It's only a derivative because there's no actual flame here. Nevertheless, as we have already stated, for doing derivative melochas, one is also punished. Halocha beis ha-mechabe kol shehu, the next meloche is mechabe, extinguishing a flame. If he extinguishes even the smallest amount of flame, chayiv, he is punished. Echot hamechabes haneir, either it doesn't matter if he extinguishes a candle, he snuffs it out. Ve'echot hamechabes agachelos shel eitz, or one who extinguishes a glowing ember of wood, he is punished. Aval hamechabe gachelos shel matchis, however, if one has the glowing piece of metal and he extinguishes that is, he plunges that into water to cool it off so it will no longer be heated and glowing, potter, this is forbidden. Nevertheless, he is not punished. It's forbidden only by rabbinical decree, because there is no actual flame here that he's put out. V'im niskaven letzarif ha'chayiv. However, if his if his intention in extinguishing this glowing piece of metal was to harden it and make steel out of it, chayiv, then he's punished. Chayin loyche habarzaloisim, because steel workers, in fact, do it in this way. Mechamim imes habarzel, they first heat up iron, acheyose gacheles, until it turns into a glowing piece of metal like a coal, umechabim oisei b'mayim, and then they extinguish it in cold water, kedei lechasmoy, in order to harden it and strengthen it. And this is what we mean, this in fact is what we meant when we said that one who extinguishes the glowing piece of metal in order to harden it is punished. And this is a derivative of the melocha of extinguishing flame. And since we said that extinguishing a glowing piece of metal is only by rabbinical decree, they did not forbid it in a case where there is danger. It's permitted, therefore, to extinguish such a glowing piece of metal, if it's in a public place, in order to avoid that the public will be injured thereby. One who adds oil into a candle that's already burning, we're talking about a candle of oil that's burning, if he adds some oil, he is punished because of setting fire, even though he didn't set the fire, but he has extended the length of time that the fire will burn. And one who removes, who takes out some of the oil for some other purpose, to use it for something, he takes out some of the oil from the candle while the candle is burning, even though he did not directly extinguish the flame, it continues to burn. Nevertheless, chayiv mishum mechabe, he's punished for extinguishing because he has shortened the amount of time that the candle can continue to burn. Halacha gimel, dleika shenafla b'shabbos, if a fire breaks out on Shabbos, hamechabe, one who extinguishes the fire, he puts it out in order to avoid loss of property, destruction of property, chayav, he is punished. Because protecting property from loss does not set aside the laws of Shabbos. Only protecting life from loss of life sets aside the laws of Shabbos. Lefichoch, and therefore, Yetzu b'nei Odom, the people who are in the house should go outside, kedei shelo yamusu, so they won't die in the fire. And then once everybody's out, v'yamnichu ho'esh talahit, they have to leave the fire burning, v'afilu seydefes kol ha'medina kula, and even if it burns down the whole city, so long as there's no danger to life here, we have to leave the fire burning. Halacha dalid, mutar lasis mechitza b'chol hakelim, bein meleim bein rikonim. Even though we said you may not directly extinguish the fire, there are other things that may be done to reduce the loss to property. It is permitted, lasis mechitza, to make a barrier in front of the fire so that it will not spread further and set another house on fire. B'chol hakelim, you can make it out of any kind of containers or utensils, bein maleim, bein rikonim, either if these utensils have things in them or if they're empty, kedei shalaitaver hadleiko, to prevent the fire from spreading further. Afilu klecheres chadoshim maleim mayim, even brand new earthenware utensils that are full of water, oisim mehem machitza, you can make a barrier with them, afal pisha vadai mizbakinu mechabit, even though you know for sure that when the flame reaches them, it's going to cause them to crack, and the water will run out and extinguish the flames. Shagram kibui mutar, because he is not directly extinguishing the flames, he is only indirectly causing the extinguishing, and this is permitted. And a candle that's burning, and the flame constantly jumps up and down, and he's afraid that the flame will reach the ceiling and set the ceiling on fire, one can take some container and turn it upside down and suspend it above the candle, so that the flame will not reach the ceiling and set it on fire. Halacha hey. Teva shido migdol, these are various kinds of boxes or chests or closets, she'ochas bahem ha'or, if the fire has caught on them and the part of it is already burning, we can stop it from burning completely. Maybe oyer gedi v'chayoytzi, but you take some goat skin or some similar material, midvarim shein hoy melahetes oisam, some material that does not readily catch on flame, upoyusei ala kotzeh shel adayin lo nisraf, and spread it out on the side of the box that has not yet caught fire, kedei shel itav shamayish, so that the fire will not reach there. Halacha vav, talis shochas bahor, if one has a talis and it's caught on fire and only part of it is still burning, poishta, you can spread it out, umiskasebo, and you put it on in the normal manner as you would put on this talis. V'im kopsa kopsa, the intention here is by wrapping the talis around yourself, you will prevent the fire from spreading further on the talis. V'im kopsa kopsa, and if in fact while you do this the flame goes out entirely, it doesn't matter, so the flame went out, since this was not the unavoidable intention here, so it's all right. V'chein sefer Torah shachas bayor, similarly if a sefer Torah caught on fire, poishto, you can spread it out, the koiri boy, and you roll it and read in it, v'im kova kova, and if while doing so the flame happens to go out, so it goes out, and you've saved the sefer Torah. V'noisin mayim min atzad shadayin lo nitla bayor, also it's permitted to put water on the part that has not yet caught fire, v'im kovsa kovsa, and if when the fire reaches there, it goes out, so it goes out, it doesn't matter. Shochach ner dolek al gabi tavla, if one forgot a candle that was burning, and it was on top of some sort of a board, he intended to remove the candle from there before Shabbos, and he forgot to do so, minayar satavla, one may shake the board, v'hunoyfil, and the candle falls off, v'im kova kova, and if it happens to go out meanwhile, so it goes out. So then he managed to extinguish it without having done something prohibited. This is only permitted, however, if he forgot to remove the candle before Shabbos. Avalim hi nichoy mi boerev. However, if he, before Shabbos, on Friday late afternoon, he deliberately put the candle there with the intent that it should remain there. The candle is muktza, of course. The candle may not be handled on Shabbos. Afal pi shekova. Even though the candle has already gone out, one may not handle it, as we will learn later on when we learn about mukta. Also, letaltaloi, one may not move it even by moving the board that's underneath, because since the candle was deliberately put there before Shabbos with the intent that it remained there, the board is also mukta. Halocha zayin, nochri shabo lechabes, if the fire is burning and there's danger to property, and a goy arrives and he is about to put it out, it's forbidden to tell him extinguish the flame, because as we learned, it is forbidden to tell a goy to do a malacha for us, but it's not necessary to prevent him. We need not tell him, don't put it out. Even though he's putting it out for us, we need not tell him, don't do it, because we are not responsible for the malacha that the goy did, so long as we didn't tell him to do it. However, a Jewish child who intends to extinguish the flame, we don't permit him to do it, because it's forbidden to have a Jewish child do a malacha for us, because the father is responsible to train the child not to do averes. But that's only if in fact he's doing it with his father's consent. But if his father is not here to consent and the child is doing it entirely on his own, so others, even Bezdin, are not required to prevent him from doing so. Ubidleika hitiru loimar kolamechabe eini mapsit, and even though it's forbidden to tell a goy to do a malacha for us, even to save property, and ordinarily it's forbidden even to hint to a goy that we would like to have the malacha done, but in the case of a fire where there's a great deal of danger to property, they did permit one to announce to the goyim, whoever extinguishes it will not lose thereby. We may not tell him that he'll gain, that I'll pay him for it, because that's like telling him that to do it for me, but I can tell him you won't lose, and he understands himself that I want him to do it, and I will pay him. Halacha ches, hoitzo b'achnosa mirshus l'rshus, the next malacha, the final one, carrying out or carrying in between two domains, between two territories, melocha meyavis melochahi. This is one of the principal categories of melocha. V'afal pisha dover zeh im kol gufi teira mipi moshe misinai namru. And even though this, along with all the other malachas and all the other principal laws of the Torah that are not spelled out explicitly in the written law, were given to Moshe Rabbeinu on Mount Sinai, nevertheless, here we need to be informed that this really is a malacha. In fact, all the malachas are learned from the Mishkan, from the construction of the portable sanctuary that they had in the wilderness, and carrying was also done there, because the large boards out of which the walls of the Mishkan were put together were carried on wagons, and the wagons, as we will learn later, constitute a private domain. The floor of the desert constitutes a public domain, and the Levim handed them up and down onto the wagons and off the wagons, and so that's a malacha. Nevertheless, since this malacha does not actually accomplish anything in the boards themselves, it only moves them from place to place, I would not know that this is a malacha unless we had another pasuk in the Torah to inform us of that. Arehu Omer, and the Torah does say, Ish v'isha al yasu oid malacha l'trumas hakodesh, no man or woman shall do anything further, any further work, any further malacha, letrumas hakodesh, in donating materials for the sanctuary. When they had enough, they had collected enough material to build the sanctuary, it was announced no one should do any further malacha in donating to the sanctuary. And how? And then what did the people do when they were told not to do malacha? Vayikoleho mehavi, the people ceased to bring any more donations. Holomadato, this teaches us, shehahavo melacha koireyoisa, that havo, that bringing, that carrying the donations, is considered a malacha. V'chein lamdu mepi hashmua. And similarly, we learn by oral tradition that not only carrying between two territories is forbidden, but shahamaveh b'shus harabim mitchilas arba l'soif arba, one who carries even within the same territory, within a public domain, he carries from the beginning of a 4-cubit distance to the end, that is, he carries 4 cubits in the public domain, hareyu kemoitzi m'shus l'shus, this is the same as if he had carried it from one domain to another, v'chayev, and he's punished. Halochetes, ein hamoitzi meshus leshus chayev, ad sheyoitzi kishir hamoyil. One who carries something from one domain to another, he is not punished unless he carries a sufficient quantity of whatever he's carrying that he could do something with it, that it would accomplish the purpose for which he needs this thing he's carried. And he could accomplish his purpose by carrying this amount of material from the private domain to the public, or from the public domain to the private. And it's also necessary not only that he move it from one to the other, but he must actually remove it, pick it up and take it out from one domain, and then put it down in the second domain. However, if he picked it up but failed to put it down in the second domain, or he niach v'loy okar, but or if he put it down in the second domain, but he had never picked it up from the first domain, or shehitzi poches mikashir, or if he carries out a full carrying, but it's less than the minimum quantity, potter, he is not punished in any of these cases. V'chein hamavim mitchilas arba l'seif arba b'rishus harabim, and similarly, one who carries in the public domain from the beginning of a 4-cubit distance to the end, that is, he carries 4 cubits, einei chayev, he is not punished, atcheyaker keshir, mitzad zeh, v'yanichei mitzad acheres, unless he has all of these same requirements, that is, he must pick it up, and he must have the amount that is the minimum quantity, and he must put it down at the outside the 4 cubits. Halacha yud, hazoidik meshus leshus, one who doesn't carry, but he throws something from one domain into another, oy hamishit, or he simply stretches it out and hands it out from one domain to another, hareza teildes meitzi, this is a derivative melacha of carrying, v'chayev, and he's punished. V'chein hazoyre koi hameshit b'yodei mitchilas arba l'seif arba. And similarly, one who throws or who hands pushes over with his hand from the one end of a 4 cubits to the other end in a public place, hareza teil this meitzi. This also is a derivative of the malach of carrying v'chayev, and he's punished. V'hazoyre kilach hayad, one who throws backhanded behind his hand, potter, he's not punished for that, because this is not the normal way. Halacha Yud Aleph, Hamutzi Miktzas Achefetz Mirshus Mishtei Rishuyis Eilu Lirshus Shneya, someone who takes part of an object and moves it from one of these two domains to the other, that is, from the public to the private, or from the private to the public, potter, he is not punished. He is only punished if he takes the entire object from one domain to the other. Kupa shehimaleya chafotzim, a box that's full of various objects, afilu maleya chardel, even if it's full of mustard seeds, so there are in this box hundreds of, probably thousands of mustard seeds, vahoitzi ruba mershuzu lershuzu, and the majority of the box was carried already from one domain to the other. Potter, he is not punished, even though when he carried the majority of the box, he carried many thousands of individual mustard seeds. Nevertheless, he is not punished, even though whole mustard seeds were carried out. Ache yoitzi es kol hakupa, he's not punished until he carries out the whole box. Bechein kol adem lezen, so the rule in any similar situation. Why is this? Even though he's carried many mustard seeds, shahakli meisim kol sheyesh boy kechefetz echad, because since these mustard seeds are all in one box, it's considered one unit, and the container makes everything in it into one unit. Halacha Yud Beis, hamoitzi, one who carries out bein b'yaminei bein b'smoilei, either in his right hand or in his left hand, bein b'teichekoy, or he carries it in hanging in his lap, or sheyotza b'moyes tzurin lei b'sadin, or he goes with some coins that are tied up in his kerchief that he's wearing, chayev, he is punished. Even though he has not carried out in the usual fashion of carrying with his right hand, nevertheless he's punished, because even though this is not the usual way, it is normal for people to carry in that fashion. Similarly, one who carries it on his shoulder is punished. And even though when he carries on his shoulders, he is carrying higher than 10 handbreadths, and higher than 10 handbreadths, we will learn in the next chapter, there cannot be any public domain, and therefore he cannot carry into or out of or in the public domain when it's higher than 10 handbreadths. Nevertheless, afal pisha masi lemaila masar tefachim b'shusharam, when he carries on his shoulders, even though it's higher than 10 handbreadths in the public domain, and therefore it's not a public domain, he's nevertheless punished. Shekein hoya masa b'nei koz b'mishkan, because in fact that was the way the clan of Kehos among the Levim carried in the Mishkan, Lemaila Me'asara, they carried on their shoulders higher than 10 handbreadths. Shenemar, and the Torah informs us of that, Ba'kosev Yiso, it says that the B'nei Kehos carried on their shoulders. V'chol ha'malochis mi'mishkan lo'im de'moiso, and all the malochis are learned from the way they were done in the Mishkan. Halocha Yud Gimel, Aval ha'mitzi la'acha yodei, however, one who carries from the back, with the back of his hand, beragloy, or he carries it with his foot, befiv, or in his mouth, of a marpekoy, or in his elbow, beoznoy, in his ear, besairoy, in his hair, bekis shetof, or bebigdoy, or in a purse that is sewn into his garment, upiakis lemata, with the mouth of the purse hanging downward, bein beged lebeged, or he carries it stuck in between two garments, befi bigdoy, or within the opening of his garment, beminoloy, uvesandaloy, in his boots or his shoes, potter, such a person is not punished, shaloi hoitzi kederech hamitzim, because none of these are normal fashions of carrying. Halacha Yud Dalet, hamoitzi masu yal Roshe, one who carries out a burden upon his head, it's on top of his head, im hoya masi kovid, if it's a heavy thing, can go in sak mole, like a sack full of some objects, oitevo migdal, or some kind of a box or a chest, v'chayitzi bohem, or some similar thing, which is a heavy burden, and it's customary shu mesim al Roshe v'teifiz biyodoi, that one puts it on top of his head, and then he steadies it with his hand while he walks, chayiv, then he's punished, shekein derech ha-mitziyim, because this is a normal fashion of carrying heavy objects to put it on one's head and steady it with his hand. V'nimtza k'moitzi al k'seifayoi biyodoi, and this is the same as carrying on the shoulder or in one's hand. Avalim loka chayitz kal, however, if one took some very light object, kegoin sheheiniah begedoi sefer asakin al reshe, for example, he takes some garment or a book or a knife, and he puts it on his head, and he walks out with this object balanced on his head, he doesn't hold it with his hand, he's merely balancing on this light object on his head, he is not punished for that, because he did not carry in a normal fashion, because most people do not normally carry things out like that balanced on their head. One who carries some object from the beginning of four cubits to the end of four cubits in a public place, even though he was carrying it higher than his head, chayiv, he is punished, even though this is in the public domain, and in the public domain it only reaches 10 handbreadths. Nevertheless, as we learned before, that is considered carrying. Halacha tezvov, mutal adam letaltel b'rshus harabim b'techa ba'amis alar ba'amis. Carrying in the public domain, we said, is forbidden if it's four cubits. However, within a square that is four cubits by four cubits, shehuay mid betzidan, and he stands there besides this territory, he is permitted to carry in the public domain. And he is permitted to carry within the public domain anywhere within this square that is 4 cubits by 4 cubits. And this is measured by his own cubit. A cubit is the measurement of the length of one's forearm, and therefore we measure it not in the average cubit or the normal size cubit, but in the cubit of that individual person who is doing the carrying. However, this is done only if that would make it more lenient. For example, someone whose limbs are larger than normal would be able to carry in a larger space. However, if it's the opposite, and it's a person whose limbs are smaller than usual, smaller than the normal size, and therefore this would tend to make it stricter for him, we do not do so. He is given a square that is 4 cubits of the normal 4 cubits of the average person. Umepia kabola amru, and by oral tradition we learn all of this because they said shezesha nemar batoira, when the Torah says shvu ish tachtov, each person should sit in his place. This means shalo yitaltel chutz la meruba shezesh. The meruba is that a person may not carry in the public domain outside of a square that is this size. Ela be meruba zeh, only within a square this size. And it says, when it says a person in his place, zehu midas oirech adam, this is the place of a person, this is the size of a person's length. When he stretches out his hands and his feet so that he pulls himself up to his full height, including his arms and hands above his head, then he is 4 cubits. Boy bilvad yesh letaltel, and only in this space, which is the space of a person, can you carry in a public place. Halacha tezayin, hoyu shnayim miktzis arba amis shalzeh leteicha arba amis shalzeh, if there were 2 people in a public place and they were close to each other, they were less than 8 cubits apart, so that part of one's person's 4 cubits overlaps part of the other person's 4 cubits. Meviim ve'oichlim be'emtza, they can both take food from their own square and put it into the middle, into the overlapping space. Uvilvad shelo yoytzi zeh miteich shaloi leteich shel chaveri, but they must take care that no person should carry from within his square into his fellow man's square where the two do not overlap. V'im hayu shloisha, if there are 3 people, v'ho'emtza, and the middle one, the person who is in the between the two outer ones, overlaps partly each of the two outer ones, who mutari mohem, he may eat in a share space together with each one of them, v'hein mutarim imoy, and each one of them may eat in the respective overlapping space that he shares with this middle person, ushnayim hachitzoinim, but the two outer ones who do not overlap one another, asurim zemzem, they may not eat in any shared space. Halocha yudzayin lefich. And therefore, since we are talking about a square of 4 cubits, mutar la'odam la'ke chayfetz mershus arabim velit. And the person can pick something up in the public domain, and he can give it to his fellow man who is sharing part of his 4 cubits. And this second person can give it now to another fellow man, to a third person, that is, who is standing beside him and sharing part of his 4 cubits. Even if there are 100 such people, and even though in this fashion that particular object is being carried for several miles, it's being carried for Shabbos, on Shabbos for several miles, nevertheless, mutar, it's permitted, because no one person among them carried only within his square of 4 cubits, and no individual person carried outside of his own square. Halacha yudches, hoyil v'yesh loy l'odem l'taltel b'chol ha'merubah, since we said that a person may carry within a whole square, shehu arba amis al arba amis, which is 4 cubits by 4 cubits, so the distance of 4 cubits is only along the sides of this square. Nimtza mitaltel be'oirech halachsim shaloi shal meruba zeh chomish amis ushloisha chumshei amma. It turns out, however, that the diagonal of such a square is larger. It turns out that if he can carry within a square that's 4 cubits on the side, then if he carries along the diagonal, that is from one corner to the diagonally opposite corner of this square, he is carrying 5 3/5 cubits, because those who are familiar with geometry know that a square that's 4 on each side, the diagonal is 4 times the square root of 2, which comes to 5 3/5. And therefore someone who carries or throws something in a public domain, he is not punished unless he carries a distance that is in excess of 5 3/5 cubits. And therefore, wherever we have stated up to now that we're talking about from the beginning of 4 cubits to the end, or wherever we said someone who carries something 4 cubits is punished, we don't mean 4 cubits, we mean actually 5 3/5. We mean from the beginning to the end of the diagonal of a square that's 4 cubits on the side. And if he carries less than this, potter, he is not punished. To summarize then, halacha yutes nimtza, it turns out, nimtza kan sholish midas, there are 3 levels of carrying in the public domain. Ketzad, and how are these 3 levels? What are they? Ha'oike chayfetz mershus harabim, mimokim zeh, v'hinichoy b'mokim if one picks up some object in a public place, in a public domain, from one place and he puts it down in another place in the public domain, im hoyabein, then the three levels are, number one, im hoyabein shnei amekoimis adar ba'amis, if the distance between the two places, that is between the place that he picked it up and the place that he put it down, if there is up to 4 cubits, up to and including 4 cubits, hareze mutar, it is permitted to do it. Hoya beinehem yoyseh meyar ba'amis, if the distance between them is larger than 4 cubits, va'adayin heim b'sei chomish amit z'shloy shechum shei amah, however it is, if, however the distance is less than 5 3/5 cubits, that is a distance greater than 4 but less than 5 3/5, potter, then he is not punished. It is forbidden, but he's not punished for it. Hoya b'neihem chomish amis or shloishachum sheyama besove, if between the two places there is a distance of 5 3/5 cubits exactly, or greater than that, harei zechayev, then he is punished for it. Sharei hevir chayfetz, because he has carried the object, chutz lachsoinei shel meruba, a greater distance than the diagonal of a square that's 4 cubits on a side. Thank you for listening. Please listen tomorrow for chapter 13.